All right, it's the broadcast for God's Grace for You. Should be aired on Thursday, the date on the label. Well, thanks so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you again. We've been having just a marvelous time this week talking about a very controversial topic, and that is the topic of tongues. Now, in all fairness to me, we started off, and to you for that matter, we started off a couple of weeks back with the presupposition that all tongues used today, wherever they're used and whoever uses them, are biblical. And then we proceeded to demonstrate to you how then could biblical tongues and when could biblical tongues violate Scripture. And we gave you about nine very easy ways that overwhelmingly the majority of people who practice these things violate Scripture. And then we proceeded to go through the tongues of today, and we've been looking at biblical tongues, and we've given you the origin, the purpose of them, what they're for, according to the Word of God. Now, we want to get to a place, and we want to answer a couple of other things in probably the final time that we have left this week. And then if we're getting in some questions, and I think what we're going to do is give it some time, wait till all the dust settles, take in all the questions. People say, because we'll get people will call and say, please comment on this verse, please comment on that verse. So I think what we're going to do is put all of those together, and then perhaps we'll take a week, and then we'll answer all of those. When someone says, well, someone said this verse pertains, and it obviously doesn't, but so that no one will say, well, they didn't answer that. I sent that question to them, they didn't answer it. We'll do a week answering sort of the rebuttal, if you will. But also, too, we've been offering you this week the booklet called The Gospel, and we'll send it to you free, as well as if you've missed the prior part one and part two to the study, you can get all three tapes. All you have to do is call us, request it, tell them you want the three-tape study on tongues. We'll send it to you free. Also, the book, if you want the book, The Gospel, we'll send that to you free as well. Now, you can get them free by simply calling us at 392-4900. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-68-GRACE, or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, and email your request, or you can write us a letter, come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. Now, we want to look at something in 1 Corinthians 12, and just so that you can get a handle on this. Now, again, if you've missed the first 2 weeks, or you didn't pay attention the first 2 weeks, or you haven't gone and looked up the Scriptures, you haven't done any study on your own, well, then you're going to be hopelessly in a fog. You need to spend some time and look at the issue. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, help, government, diversities of tongues. Now someone says, well, that's where God put them in the church. You show me where he took them out. Well, we will. We will show you that very clearly, because he tells us they're going to come out in the next chapter. Not that they're going to end in the next chapter, but he tells us in the next chapter that they're going to come out at some point when their purpose is fulfilled. Now, we've spent some time demonstrating the purpose of tongues. And once one understands the purpose of these things, and then one understands church history, it's very clear then to see why these things are done away with. Now, but he says this in verse 29, are all apostles? And what's the answer? The answer is no. Are all prophets? What's the answer? No. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Now, it's interesting, because in Paul in Ephesians 4, talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. And I had a conversation with a fellow one time, and because I had heard him say that he operated as an apostle. So I referred to him as an apostle. And so he took umbrage with that. He said, oh, I'm not an apostle. I function as an apostle, but I don't claim the office. So my question was this, then, you function as an apostle? Yes, but you're not an apostle. Right. You function as a prophet? Yes, that's correct, but you're not a prophet. You function as an evangelist? Are you an evangelist? Sometimes. You function as a pastor? Are you a pastor? Yes. Well, do you find the inconsistency there? If you function as an apostle, you're an apostle. If you function as a fornicator, you're a fornicator. There's no distinction. You can't. I mean, what kind of that's a Bill Clinton is thing. You know, does is mean is? No, is means is. That's it. What does is mean? It means is. That's what it means. It's not a complicated thing at all. If you function as an apostle, you're an apostle. If you function as a murderer, you're a murderer. End of story. Now, the question is, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. So how can you say, well, you should have this, and you got to get this, and seek the baptism? The baptism what? In the Holy Spirit. Doesn't exist. You say, oh, yes, it does. Chapter and verse. Give me chapter and verse. Where did you learn that? You read the scripture all by yourself and you found that, or somebody taught you that? But you went away to school and learned that? You read that, you got that from reading the scripture. No one told you anything. You read the Bible and you figured all that out by yourself. It's interesting because you don't have any scripture for it. So how did you get it from the Bible? How did you get that from the Bible? It's like someone saying, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Really? How did you get that from the scripture? How did you deduce from the scripture that Jesus Christ was or is or is going to be again Michael the Archangel? How in the world did you figure that out? Well, you didn't, because as a Jehovah's Witness, you were taught that. You couldn't have gotten that from the scripture. How did you figure as a Mormon that God was once a man who became God? How did you figure that out? Well, you couldn't, because it's not there. You can't figure it out. It's not only is it not in the scripture, it's not even in the Book of Mormon. Not there at all. So you had to be taught that. Someone had to teach you that. You couldn't learn that. You couldn't glean that by yourself. Someone had to teach you that. So what you find today is people who have some pet text. They have a pet verse, like we shared with you, I think, a couple of weeks back. Someone will take you to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, and it'll say, "For you know not how to pray for as you ought. When you know not how to pray for as you ought, the Spirit itself makes intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, that's tongues. Really? What part of cannot be uttered don't you grasp? What part of that don't you grasp? Is it something about that you just can't understand, that it cannot be uttered? Then are you uttering these things? Well, yes. Well, then it's not it. That's not it. That's an inappropriate text. That's a text without a context. What is that? Then it's a pretext. Now, you have to come to grips with that. You have to get to a point in your life where you're saying, wait a minute. I heard someone called me, and no name, no chapter and verse, and said, well, you know, tongues is a great thing because it keeps women from gossiping. Really? Well, you know, if you sit around, a bunch of women sit around and asking each other to pray for each other, and, you know, and they're praying for each other, and everybody knows what everybody's problem is, and they begin to gossip. But if you just pray in tongues, nobody knows anything. Well, that's right. Not only don't they know anything, you're not praying for anything. The enemy has just eliminated your weapon, prayer. Just eliminated it. When the Lord was asked, teach us to pray, what did he say? He said, when you pray, pray in your heavenly prayer language that no one, not even the devil, will understand what you're saying. It will prevent gossip and prevent a lot of other things. No, he didn't say that. He said, when you pray, say, and he gave the prototype of all prayer, the Our Father, or what's called the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. Now, why do you think he did that? Why do you think nowhere, when you leave the book of 1 Corinthians, for example, go look in all the Pauline epistles, look at all the Petrine epistles, tell me what they say about tongues. When we leave the book of rebuke, 1 Corinthians, when we leave that, the most theologically complete book in the Bible, the book of Romans, how much does Paul talk about your heavenly prayer language in Romans? How many times does he commend us to use our heavenly prayer language, to pray in tongues, etc.? In the most theologically complete book of the Bible, Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, how many times does he teach us that and talk about it? Please share that with me. When we leave the great epistle of rebuke, the epistle to the church of the carnal Christians at Corinth, when we leave that epistle, and that's about 56 A.D., tell me what else Paul says about tongues. What does he say about them? Explain that to me. Why did Paul tell Timothy to take medicine for his frequent sicknesses? Why didn't he tell him to claim his healing? Why? Why did Paul say, Trophimus I left in Miletum sick? He couldn't heal him. Why? Why couldn't Paul heal himself? Moreover, why couldn't Paul get some other believer to heal him? For the same reason, all the nonsense happens today. The great healer, Catherine Coleman, common denominator, tongues, ecumenical spirit, big ecumenist. Catherine Coleman got sick. What's the first thing she did? She went to see Oral Roberts. Why? To check in his hospital. Isn't that odd? Oral Roberts says the power of God flows down his right hand. He can raise the dead. He goes to Oklahoma. What's the first thing he builds in his city of faith? Builds a hospital. Why? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Doesn't make any sense at all. No sense. Why? Because the Bible does not teach that. But boy, it's a great way to make a dollar. Now you start looking at all the people who promote that, and then look at all the discussions about money that you have in those circles. Oh, the power of God moves on me. The word of God's in my mouth. Let's talk about your money. Plant a seed, give me your money. Sow a seed, get back 100-fold. Come on now, get with the vision. Come on now, got plenty of money coming. The wealth of the wicked's going to be transferred to the righteous. Chapter and verse, please. Don't prance around giving people all that rhetoric. Open the scripture and teach them where God says that. Teach them. Why don't you? Because it's not there. That's why. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not the brightest guy around, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I make no claims to infallibility. There could be a chapter and verse I've missed. If I have, I welcome that from you. I'm not going to catch a Greyhound bus somewhere. I'm going to sit right here and come back and say, hey, friends, I missed the chapter and verse. Let me read it to you. I was wrong. The Bible is right. This is what the Bible says. And if everybody would take that position, there would be unity in diversity. But the problem is no one wants to submit, or a majority of people do not want to submit to him. Anyway, call a friend, tell them about the broadcast, and join us tomorrow at this same time.